Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your present help. The God who forgives us, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Worthy is your name. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you're our helper. Thank you, Father, that you're our peace. You have loved us with an everlasting love. God, you who knows all things about us, you see everything. There's nothing hidden from your view. Yet you love us so fervently. We are thankful for this grace and mercy that has kept us. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of all praise, all worship, all adoration. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for his everlasting love and his care for us. In our own rights, we don't deserve anything good. But grace makes it possible. God's everlasting, amazing grace. Thank God for that. You may be seated. Thank you. Today we go to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Can you clean up my sound a little bit, if you may, please? Ephesians 5. It says, be ye therefore followers of God. Be ye therefore followers of God. Now, every time I see the word therefore, I want to remind myself of what the therefore is there for. So why don't we do something? Let's go to the last few verses of chapter 4. In chapter 4, let's take it from about verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What is he talking about? Let no corrupt communication. The word is the word sapros, corrupt, rotten, worthless. What is rotten and what is worthless? Putrefied, smelly communication, as far as God is concerned. It is that which does not build up, that which does not help you or others grow, that which is not of faith, that which is not of love. He says, don't let that come out of your mouth. If it's not going to build up, if it's not going to encourage, if it's not going to help somebody become better, it must not come out of your mouth. God's word says that is corrupt, it is filthy, it is putrefied, it is rotten. He says, but This is what needs to come out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Speak things that people can use to build. Present words that I receive that. I receive that. Now, this is interesting. Because I don't need to hear from God. I need to give them God things to work with. So let's say, not that I do this, but let's say, because when I speak to somebody prophetically, I'm speaking to them prophetically. But you know what? We can all prophesy by giving somebody good words to build up with. So I say to somebody, I see you doing great things with your life. I see you experiencing breakthroughs. I see you growing up to be an amazing young man or young woman. I see you. I didn't have to hear that from God. But I'm giving to them something that builds them up. If somebody says something really nice to you and you were not feeling good, all of a sudden, you can't help it. You start smiling and something has to happen inside of you. And chemically, something begins to happen inside of you. You begin to believe, I can do it. I can make it. Well, you gave them something to build with. It's not because you were giving them a prophetic statement, it's that you were speaking life into them. And God says, I don't you look at you, dummy. You're worthless, hopeless. You're not ever going to succeed in your life. Look at you. Look at your mates over there. Look at how successful they are, but you. All the years, nothing. That's not building up. As far as God is concerned, that is corrupt words. He says, give them words that are good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace and enablement unto the hearers. So in that sense, Paul says, we can all prophesy. Because the prophetic declaration is something that says, you got it, you got it, you got it, you can make it. Let's go do it. Doesn't have to be, okay, the Lord said. No, the Lord already told you what to say. Don't say corrupt words. Say edifying words and build each other up. Amen? He says, and then, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do not believe the confession, the prophetic declaration of God over our lives. And we think, I'm not going to make it. You grieve the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you do not believe that God has made you more than a conqueror. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you yield yourself to offense and to bitterness and to strife and to not believing that you can be everything God says you can be by resisting, quenching the Holy Spirit. Rejecting words that edify. It is the Holy Spirit that seals you onto the day of redemption. Why? So that you are protected to make the right decisions. He's your defender. He sealed you. Then it goes on and says, let all bitterness, because this is what generates corrupt words, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, because all of that generate corrupt communication. Get rid of all of those things. Don't let it stay. Give no room to it. Because if you give room to it, you begin to quench the Spirit. You begin to resist the Spirit. You begin to grieve the Spirit of God. And therefore, creative things cannot happen. You see, the Holy Spirit comes and he broods upon the waters. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1. And when the Spirit of God was brooding, overseeing, covering the darkness of the deep, God spoke. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our situation, we can begin to speak life into that particular situation, and that life releases continuity. Before I came this evening, I was thinking about different times that I heard the enemy say, "You're done. Your finances are shut. You're not going to make it to next month. This blah, blah, and so on and so forth." And I said to myself, yeah, so many times the enemy said that. But God saw me through all of those many times. And that same God will see me through every other time. And my story will always be that I keep on going unhindered in spite of whatever the enemy tries to do. That is the activation of the Holy Spirit and believing the Spirit of God. To grieve the Holy Spirit in that situation, or if you're going through a financial situation when you know God has helped you in the past, is to say, what am I going to do now? Well, you didn't do anything the first time. God did it. So why are you, you know, putting yourself into the situation now as if you did it then? Because then that attitude is an attitude of not being thankful, not being appreciative of the help of God that you have received all this while, and that grieves the Spirit, which is okay. Since you did it before, do whatever it is that you did again. Or you can say, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you helped me in time past in this kind of situation. And I thank you that your word is alive and you're coming through for me again. The enemy shall be put to shame, and you are granting me possibilities, opportunities, allowing me to step into a realm of supernatural favor that I had not experienced before, at least not to this extent. I thank you for the new things that you're doing today. God then becomes your helper. He helps you. And you come out on the other side of that dark day, that dark moment. Because nothing that happens in your life today or tomorrow is ever going to be surprising to God. He's not surprised by any of it. So he tells us, get rid of all of this stuff that is all terrible and bad. Clamor, anger, wrath, strife, whatever. He says, get rid of that and be ye kind one to another. Be kind to each other. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Why are we forgiving one another? Because we mess up. You don't forgive somebody who's not messed up. So just recognize people are going to mess up. People are going to do crazy stuff. So be ready to forgive. Say, brother, it's all right. I didn't appreciate that, but I thank God that we're still friends. We're still brothers in the Lord. And we will do better. I love you. Do you know how badly that sounds to the devil? Tries him off the wall. He was trying to create division, and here you guys are getting glued together, closer together. Investing in each other, growing together. He says, do so, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, because of what Jesus did, forgave you. Do the same thing. For Christ's sake, forgive each other. Amen? Because he loved us while we were yet sinners. He died for us while we were sinners. It wasn't when we were perfectly okay that he says, okay, you're good enough now for me to die for. I can see that things are going to be better now. So I can you know, fend for you now because there's a better chance. You've gone past 50%. So when you were at 25%, I didn't want to invest anything in you because I knew that was going to be a losing thing. No, while we were still heading down, he says, I love you. I love you. I forgive you. I know you can make it. Here, take my hand. Open up your heart. I want to come in. But I'm so filthy and I'm messed up. I know that, but just let me come in. I'll be the soap that washes you clean. That's incredible. I was doing dishes the other day, and I was so impressed at the power of soap. I was doing the dishes. Soap. It cuts through the crease. And I started rubbing what I was washing, and it was making nice, sharp, clean sounds. I said, didn't used to do that until soap came. Interesting. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. Comes and cleans us up. All messed up with all kinds of grease. Slippery, like a slimy thing, and it comes, cuts through all of it. Now we're clean. He says, do that for Christ's sake. Let's do that. And then it says this. Praise the Lord. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, without corrupt communication. Follow him as one who forgives. Follow him as one who's thrown away wrath and anger and all of that. If God didn't put aside anger, we'll all be dead. Set it aside. He says, do the same as dear children of God. And as dear children of God, walk in love. Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. An offering and a sacrifice. Now, not all offerings are sacrifices, but every sacrifice is an offering. Not all offerings are sacrifices, but every sacrifice is an offering. Some offerings are demanded offerings, and some are free will. how do I put it? Okay. I think this might be the best way to put it. This is not original to me. A pig and a chicken decided that they were going to present breakfast to their owner. And the chicken says, let's go do something for our owner. And the pig says to the chicken, for you, it's going to be an offering. For me, it's going to be a sacrifice. Whether it's me being caught alive or dead, it's going to be a sacrifice. You just need to poop it out. And you have eggs. But something has to be cut out of me. I have to bleed for the sacrifice. Well, in life, same is true. Love brings us to that place where we do one of two things, offering or sacrifice. An offering, though, is not an offering when it doesn't have your heart of love with it. If I brought a dollar bill as a gift to the queen, when I have the capacity to bring her $1 million, the offering ceases to, that dollar ceases to be an offering. It becomes an insult. If all I have is a dollar, and I gave that dollar becomes a sacrifice. So it is not the amount, but the heart that comes with it. The heart of honor, the heart of love that makes an offering. You can make all of your offering sacrifices because you've given your all to it. The Lord Jesus being spat on, being whipped, stripes for healing and all of that, the crown on his head, all of that, that is offering. When he died, that is sacrifice. Because he gave his all right there. By his stripes, we were healed. But there are many people that had been, whooped. Paul got whipped many times. But that was an offering. See, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that what God is saying to us is this. If we're going to be followers of him, then everything that we go through, whether it be an offering or a sacrifice for each other, whatever it is that you're giving has to have a particular purpose. Something that you are giving it towards to accomplish. Yes, when Jesus Our Lord went through the crown being forced on his head. He bled. When they whipped him, he bled. But it was in his dying and the purpose for his dying that it became a sacrifice. But let me go a little bit further than that. When he stepped out of heaven to come to the earth, he was sacrificing. He had not shed his blood yet, but he was leaving everything to come here to serve you and I. That's what made it a sacrifice. That's what made it an effective offering. Purpose. I'm giving this for this. In other words, then, every time we give to God, we have to give with purpose. Don't be casual with your giving. I'm giving for something. I am sowing for something. I am placing this before God for a reason. That's an offering. That's a sacrifice. In doing what we're doing in this house right now, there are people that give nothing. There are people that gave an offering. And there are people that gave a sacrifice. They really didn't have it to give. But say, I believe in what is happening. I'm going to give sacrificially for it. I'm giving to this. And I'm believing God for something. So I can give even more sacrifice. Now, pull all of that together. And understand that all of that has to be founded in the foundation of love. I love what God is doing in my life and what God is doing in our church. I want to participate in it. And therefore, I'm going to speak words that will edify. I'm going to speak words that are not corrupting. I'm going to release words that are going to help make things happen. Powerful. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and had given himself. The love was shown by his giving. But it was not the giving of somebody else. It was the giving of himself. Somebody said once, you know, people will give the very best offering if they can dip their hands in other people's pockets and take whatever those people have and give it. The offering will be huge. If I can just dip my hand in the other person's pocket and give like I would like to give. Yeah. Sounds like government. Just give, 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 give. If it came out of your pocket, will you give like that? It's a different situation. Now, the Word of God says something here. He says that offering and sacrifice to God is like a sweet smelling savor. For a sweet smelling savor. In other words, I want to give God some beautiful, awesome fragrance. I want God to sniff something good. Huh. How are we going to do that? This is by walking in love with each other. One. And by giving of yourselves sacrificially. Two sons in this house primarily, I can say consistently give sacrificially. Everything that you see in here, most of the time, they are involved in doing things, working 8-10 hours almost every day without pay. Come here almost every day, serving, and the more they serve, the more they see things to do, and on and on, and not only are they busy doing something, more things are put in their plate to do, and you know, I'm sure now and then they might say, "Hey, you're giving us too much to do," but they take a hold of their emotions, take a hold of whatever, and say, "Okay, Pastor," and they continue doing. Sacrificial giving. Do you know what kind of smells you're creating in heaven for God? By their service? Taking care of the house of God? Do you know what kind of blessings are coming upon their household and generations to come? If the Lord tarries because of their actions of service? I don't know how to measure what God accounts towards them. Because they don't come here and say, "Look at what I did, look at what I did, look at what I did." None of that. They just do the thing that they need to do and they keep on. And in fact, today when every one of us leave here, they are still going to be here doing some stuff just to make sure that things get better next week and the week after that and the week after that and the week after that. Hours and hours and hours and hours. And guess what? It is all sacrifice. Sweat and blood. And God takes note of that. He says, walk in love, sacrifice, create a sweet smell for God, but fornication. Wow, fornication. That is fake love that has no sacrifice, no commitment. It says fornication, that includes pornography, because that word fornication is, it comes from the word porneia. It says fornication and all uncleanness, every form of uncleanness, that which is unclean. Akathisia is the Greek word for it. It says, all of that, uncleanness, impurities, physical impurity, moral impurity, or covetousness, wanting to grab this, that, this, I want that, you know, and not minding who you hurt to get whatever it is you want to get. I want this, I want that. And this is when you have that kind of a mindset, you don't care who you hurt. Covetousness is a form of witchcraft. Because you will twist anything to make sure that you get whatever it is you want to get at the expense of somebody else. He says, let it not be once. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Let it never be said that there's fornication in the church. People shacking up. Says, let it never be said. We don't need any policeman, you know, checking on whether people are shacking up. But I dare say there are lots of people shacking up. Well, that's an old, maybe I'm not using the normal proper word for today, whatever the word is, but that's what we used to call it in the 80s, shacking up. That's when you're not married, but you have friends with benefits. It's called shacking up, living together. He says, let it not be once named among you as ones that are saints, as becometh saints. You're saints. You're not sinners. And that's not part of your character. That's not part of your makeup. Neither filthiness. Don't be filthy. Nor foolish talking. Filthiness, that word is generated from a Greek word that talks about obscenity, being obscene. Nor foolish talking. Now, foolish talking is a kind of talk, if I may put it this way. The Bible says, it's the fool that says in his heart, there's no God. So foolish talking is talking that postulates a mindset of godlessness. You're talking like there is no God. So foolish talking is, these are words of unbelief. When you start talking unbelief, you don't, you know, like you're not a believer, you don't believe that there is a God, that's foolish talk. So it's not just nonsense talking, you know, crazy talk, you know, that's, you know, like you've been drunk or something and you start yapping off and saying crazy things. No, it's beyond that. It's a talk that has no God life in it. It says, not jesting, acting crazy. Being a comedian or something. God is simply saying to us, if you're going to have laughs, don't have a laugh that is at the expense of somebody else. Jesting then becomes an act that puts somebody else down. It's a word that has, you know, it's this particular word here, no jesting, is difficult to separate properly, because it's a word that also means pleasantries. And basically what it's actually addressing is that mindset that is generating something in somebody's life that does not edify them. Now, this brings us back full circle to the corrupt words and giving them something good to use, something edifying to use. Now, the reason this is difficult is because basically what it's saying is this, that you should not bring somebody to the place where you are telling them lies. Okay, let me explain a little bit further. Remember when I was saying earlier on, you know, I see good things happening in your life and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Those are edifying words, okay? But what jesting or exchanging pleasantries that have no foundation is giving somebody that is doing evil, okay? Going to an Idi Amin that is busy killing people, and I'm saying to him, Idi Amin, I see something good happening in your life, without rebuking him of the fact that he's busy killing people and that killing people is not an act of love. That is, you just jesting. You just speaking pleasantries without any foundation. Love does not mean I tolerate and I cover up whatever nonsense you're doing. Love says, let us go to the roots of the matter so that that which God has for you can come to pass. Repent. And God is going to do this. Child of God, that's who you are. But right now, you're messing up. And you need to change. Because God wants to do this, do this, do this. That is bringing the presence of God into it, and that's no longer jesting. But me just coming and say, when I know that you are doing something really bad, and I start saying good stuff to you, and there is no place for repentance, you're a jester. You're just speaking pleasantries that have no foundation, and God says, get rid of that. Get rid of that nonsense. He says, because it's not convenient. But what is it that is going to be convenient? And what is it that God wants to do? He wants us to be thankful, but rather giving of thanks. Give God thanks. For what? I thank God for you because I know that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And that He's going to help you break through whatever limitations you're going through right now so you can live a full life in godliness, in righteousness, in truth, and you will overcome. I declare that the overcoming grace of God comes upon your life and that you fulfill your destiny and that you grow up to be a giant in faith to do great and mighty things to the glory of God. Now, that's different. You are bringing truth to bear with the edifying words that you're proclaiming. So basically, God is saying, whatever it is that you're doing, do it in faith, do it in love, act like me. And that's the truth that God has for us today. Amen? So we'll stop there in verse 4, Ephesians 5, 4, and we'll continue next time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the grace that you've accorded us. Help us to walk uprightly in righteousness and in truth. Help us, O God, to receive the correction that you give to us and not run away from you like Adam and Eve tried to, but rather that we come to you, recognizing, O God, that you are our helper, that you're the God who forgives us all sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and you establish us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Heal us through and through. And may our love for you cause us, O God, to flourish in our going out and our coming in forever. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let's honor God with our giving. And as we honor him with our giving, may his abounding grace cause us to prosper in every area of life. Amen.